Okay, praise the Lord. Wonderful Saviour. Thank you, Jesus. God is faithful. We're continuing in Ephesians. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4. Welcome to you all. Praise God. Brothers and sisters online. And this is a live meeting. We're preaching from the Word, teaching in Ephesians. And there will doubtless be some questions arising in your minds as we go through. If you could wait till the end, praise the Lord, we'll be around for a while afterwards to answer any questions that you may still have. I'm a great believer that as you wait before the Lord during the message, God knows the heart, He knows where you're at, He will answer, praise God, He will answer during the message. Amen. Glory to God. And so we're looking in chapter 4 of Ephesians. And starting with verse 7 going through to 16, and we got as far as verse 11. We're looking at apostolic authority, and we're calling this particular section of teachings less words and more experience. And I wasn't completely sure why the Lord would give us that title, but as we open up in this, it becomes more and more clear that this is what he's saying, less words and more experience. So we're looking at apostolic authority, and I want to just start again with a bit of a background tonight. The context of gifts, miracles. In the Old Testament, there were great miracles, but they were done at certain times in Israel's history. The birth of the nation, time of great crisis, reminded of Elijah and Elisha. You know, Moses, praise God, at the birth of the nation. Significant times in Israel's history where divine intervention was needed. David subduing the kingdom there, so there's some great miracles wrought through his ministry in a military sense. What about the church? What about today? Well, obviously, the Lord came to Israel, but perhaps the greatest manifestation of divine intervention was the Messiah himself coming to Israel at a time of great need. He came to proclaim and establish the kingdom. The church is instrumental. While he is establishing the church, he did not come to establish the church, simply used as an instrument. He came to proclaim and ultimately establish his kingdom. So now that the church is in existence, citizens of the kingdom proclaiming the kingdom, can we expect miracles? How does God move in our lives now? We've looked at the Old Testament, times of great crisis, Israel, significant times. What about the church? When do gifts, when do miracles operate? Is it simply the giving of a new truth? Is it simply a time of crisis? Well, potentially, dear friends, you'll be pleased to know, 24/7, the gifts are available all the time. You'll look at the book of Acts, and then you'll look at our life, and then you'll look back at the book of Acts, and you'll look, well, what's missing? Well, praise God. These messages are designed to encourage, and as we press in, these gifts, these blessings, this authority is available to the extent that we commit our lives to the Holy Spirit, surrender to Him, yield our lives over to Him, and allow Him to work in and through us to press in and inherit our inheritance. But I've got good news for you this evening, friends, concerning apostolic authority, what God is raising up to bring us into our inheritance. We're looking at authority, and the two things I want to look at with this, yes, we're looking specifically at the apostle and a couple of other ministries in with that, but when we talk about apostolic authority, we talk primarily about one who is sent. That's the authority, that he's been directly sent by the Lord to accomplish a certain task, but also ministry by the entire body of Christ. These are the two ultimate definitions of body ministry. Ministry by the entire body. And that's significant as we look at this. Now, Joshua is a type, I believe, of the fivefold ministry, the Holy Spirit bringing the saints into their inheritance. Just as Joshua, God appeared to Joshua every place where the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given it to you. Lead, you go over, possess this land, lead the children of Israel to possess that land. And so the fivefold ministry is being raised up, given a commission by Almighty God. Every place that the sole of your foot, every step of faith, every act of obedience, every prayer of faith, every day, you are going to get victories in your own life. You're going to lead your people into their inheritance. Praise God. Now, can we pray that God would raise up apostles? Are we supposed to pray? Where do we stand with that as a church? Well, if we turn to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12, we're looking at apostolic authority. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And we are now reading from Ephesians that the church will not be complete until the office of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher are up and running and functioning. So whichever way you look at it, as we cry out to God, complete my faith, work in me to stand complete in your will, the way he answers that is by raising up the ministry that will help us do that. That's one of the ways. Let's have a look at in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And if we'll start with verse 6. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, starting with verse 6, says, "But now that Timothy has come to us from you, brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith." See, this is all that this man lived for, that those that got saved under his ministry, the churches, that they would stand complete in the faith. His life was totally, sacrificially laid down for the service of those to whom he ministered. What a contrast. We're going to look later on in detail. We're not just saying this, but it is a real contrast to what we see today. "For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God? Night and day praying exceedingly." This is his desire. So he's praying continually. Really pressing in, praying exceedingly, that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. So there are things that maybe are lacking in our faith, in our experience, and this is the vessel, this is a ministry that God has raised up to perfect, to complete what is lacking in faith. What about in Romans? You see, dear friends, when the spies went into the promised land and they brought back the fruit, 2 brought back a good report and 10 brought back a negative report, but they also brought back the fruit. Huge, you know, clusters of grapes the size of pomegranates, like huge, right, on a pole. So that's the gospel, the good message and the fruit of it. The gifts, the fruit, the power of it, the life-transforming power of the gospel. So how they brought back a bad report, I don't know, but 2 brought back a good report. And this is what God is raising up, to give the people a vision of possessing their inheritance. Not just words, but the experience of it, the life-changing encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. The full gospel, the salvation of the whole man, and the whole counsel of God, from predestination through to the kingdom, the eternal state. All that God wants us to know, all that God has provided for us in the atonement, made known, revealed, and brought to bear in our experience through these ministries. That's their purpose. So yeah, press in. Press in. God will answer those prayers, because we're not yet complete in our experience. We are legally, you can read, can't you, I'm complete in Christ and all that. Legally, yes. But are you in your trials, in your experience? Do you know all there is to know about faith? Have you experienced the supernatural realm? Do you know all there is to know? Have you been, you know, maybe the occasional be healed in the name of Jesus, or, you know, a check come through the door that you didn't expect? But in 30 years, I mean, that, you can't call that a complete experience. We're going to look later on at just what this apostolic authority means. So yes, I truly believe with all my heart that as we cry out to God, like in Luke 18, deliver me from my adversary, Lord, we've been robbed. This is the bride of Christ. And be honest, as you take a proper look at the state, even of the overcomers at the moment, we're living as a widow. We're not fully entering, we haven't fully entered in to the bride privileges, to sonship privileges, to what really belongs to us. Now that's not to condemn, that's to provoke. Come on friends, are we happy with our present experience, or is there something within us telling us that there's a whole lot more out there? Mm-hmm. A whole lot more that we haven't even begun to experience. Now even when we looked at, even when we look at this, as we're going to go through some scriptures looking at apostolic authority, that's all we've done. It's right because it's come by the Spirit. It's a seed that has been sown in our heart. But until we are sitting under an apostle's ministry, how are we experiencing it? Do you see what I'm saying? So all this is well in advance of our experience. It's a seed being sown that we make it the subject, the object of our prayers, our seeking God, our commitment, our consecration. Back to Haggai, do you remember? That, you know, why are we seeking our own panelled, our sealed houses when my house lies waste? That was God's contention with Israel at that generation. So in this generation, God's house lies waste, and we're going to see from Scripture how that is. God's house is lying waste. It's in a deplorable condition at the moment. And what are we doing about it? Oh, well, we're being blessed by the Word. Not quite, not. I hope not, friends. I hope that's not the attitude. We are being blessed by the Word, but why? What is God saying over our lives, over this assembly, when we are being so mightily blessed, so enriched? And this isn't, please, this doesn't, I hope this doesn't come over as it might sound logically, and yet others, there's so many that aren't. So what is God saying? What is the Lord saying? Well, he's making us the servant, he's making us the least, and he's giving us the responsibility of praying it through, not bragging about it, not flaunting it, but praying through that God's house be built, that the devil gets his hands off the remnant, and that God establishes, completes his perfect redemptive will for his elect, because we ain't there yet. We're getting there. God is opening eyes, putting that burden on the heart. But these things have to be wrought through prayer. They have to be birthed through by prayer, that God would complete his redemptive work in our midst. Romans chapter 1. We'll start with verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. Here we go again. Pray. You see, it's going to come through prayer and nothing else. That without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Now, what is he praying? Specifically making request, if by some means, now at last, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That's the apostle's ministry. Don't worry about, oh well, it's a man. The apostle acts on behalf of heaven. It's not the man imparting the gift. That's the Lord through that vessel. It's the apostolic authority. Now, well, I don't know how you feel when you hear that, but that touches my heart. That's something that I'm in dire need of. Acts 26. Acts chapter 26. We'll start with verse 17. This is where I start at 16. Acts 26, starting with chapter 16. So this is Paul recounting his conversion experience. Jesus appears to him, and he says, I'm Jesus whom you are persecuting, but rise, stand on your feet. I have appeared to you for this purpose. So here comes the purpose for which Jesus apprehended Paul. Praise God. This is a specific purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen, in other words, this present encounter, and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. So here's that direct revelation from the ascended Christ. Jesus appearing, speaking directly, personally, face to face, to Paul, go and speak what I'm revealing to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you. So he's sending him to Jews and Gentiles. I will deliver you from them, from those that try to kill you. I will preserve you in the midst of your persecution, he's saying. But here's the key, to whom I now send you. Directly sent with a purpose. What is that purpose? Verse 18. Because many have seen Jesus but aren't apostles. Because, you know, in dire circumstances. So with that appearance, with that experience, comes the commission. That's what makes an apostle. He says to open their eyes. God is going to open our eyes if he's not already. He's opening our eyes now, isn't he? He's opening our eyes now. But there's more of that to come. You see, this has been given to the church. This is now set in the church. And we're now taking up what Paul left behind. That anointing is still there. Just because the vessel's gone, that anointing is still in the body of Christ. God is restoring it. And more, it's going to be greater works. Latter rain anointing. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. From the power of Satan to God. That's a perfect repentance deliverance, isn't it? From darkness to light, from Satan to God. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified or set apart by faith in me. Friends, are we there yet? We're having our eyes opened, we're being delivered, we're being set free from Satan to God, and we're now being encouraged to possess our inheritance. God is now working to grant us to see to it by his Spirit, that's what the presence of the Holy Spirit is for, to bring us into our inheritance. We've been set apart, sanctified by faith in him. The foundation of faith is being laid, has been laid. We now have an inheritance to claim. And the fivefold ministry have been given to you, brothers and sisters, like Joshua, to the children of Israel, to see to it that you come in to your inheritance. Victory in their lives, victory in your lives. This is why, from time to time, we exhort, we encourage, we ask you, pray for us, because that's our ministry over you. What you pray into us, you will receive from God for your inheritance, friends. It's an anointing, it's an inheritance that belongs to you. And God will bring that about. Now, I want to look, first of all, at the heart of the man, because I want to see some gifts in operation through Paul and the others. We're going to see how he used his authority. And it's awesome. But I want us to look at the heart, first of all. Not just Paul or Peter, but there's others such as Timothy, Philip. We're going to look at the various different ministries under that apostolic anointing where they were sent. And this is the whole point of the message. Because Paul was saying in Romans 10, isn't he, 12 to 17, we won't particularly look there because we know it so well. But how can one preach except they be sent? We need to have that understanding of being sent to a place. Yes. And that makes all the difference. Okay, so where should we start? There's a lot in this. I want to begin by looking at the heart of the man. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, 1 Thessalonians, let's start in chapter 2, let's start in verse 4, verses 4 to 7. As we have been approved by God, I mean, this is deep, isn't it? As we have been approved by God, not by man, not by self-appointed, not by a little brotherly network, you know, the old boy network, but God, to be entrusted with the gospel. God has entrusted some with the gospel and with the souls that result from that. Even so, we speak in that manner. Even so, we speak not as pleasing men, flattering words, not as men pleasers, not as pleasing men, but God, who tests our hearts. God tests the hearts. He tests the motive. He tests the attitude. He brings that out under that responsibility. What are we saying to people? How are we presenting the gospel? How do we come over? For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. He did not use his authority for anything selfish. Now compare this with what we see today. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. That's the heart of a man. Let's continue with this on this theme. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 17. Yes, and if I am being, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 17, if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. There is a man who gave everything so that the saints could inherit their inheritance. And look who he sends. This is also Timothy being commended, which we'll look at later, but it's while we're here, it's worth looking at. I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. All seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. So he was getting it in his day, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father he served with me in the gospel. Therefore I hope to send him at once as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord I myself shall also come shortly. Do you see the integrity? Do you see what God is doing, has done through the hearts of these men who are now ministering, you know, just giving their lives for the church, not just the message? And this is what God is restoring, what he's raising up amongst the overcomers. This is why we're calling it, or this is why the Lord put it on my heart, less words, more experience. Anyone can talk a talk, big talkers in the body of Christ, but where are we seeing this? Where are we seeing this? So let's have a look, see how these men, with that heart, let's see how that operated in the book of Acts. Praise God. I think we will be surprised. Let's start with Acts chapter 8. And it's not just Peter or Paul, but that's a good place to start. Acts chapter 8. We'll start with verse 9. Acts chapter 8 and verse 9. There was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city, and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great. Does that sound familiar? To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." Elijah had that, didn't he? All the people were going after Baal. Yeah. Isn't it funny, or isn't it interesting, that it's no different in the New Testament? And they heeded him. How and why? Because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. He'd bewitched them, practiced witchcraft over them, yeah. Whether that was hypnosis or some kind of... But there they were, under his spell. Yeah. But when they believed Philip, as he preached what? As he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God. That's why we're labouring in the kingdom message. And the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. And Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and the signs which were done. Friends, this is the full gospel. The full gospel. Remember Paul said, turning from the power of Satan to God. This man, at this point, was turned from the power of Satan to God. He'd seen the miracles. Now, we also need as a background, verses 4 to 8. Those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the church, and it was Saul, before he was met, it was Saul doing that, persecuting the church. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Those miracles which they saw, which they heard, helped them, inspired them to believe the message. Amen. These are keys that open the door into the kingdom of heaven for those that hear and receive the gospel. And that is the full gospel, and that's what we're coming into, friends, if we'll but press in for it, if we'll believe for it. Amen. Jesus said these things will follow them that believe. These signs will follow them that believe, but also those that believe will do the works that I do and greater. Mm-hmm. Those that believe. So whatever it is to believe is what God is requiring of us. And he's the author and finisher of that faith. Personally, by his spirit, through the word, through trials. Praise God, he's producing that faith within us. But for unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. So then we come to Simon, who had held the people in bondage. So Philip had then preached to Samaria, the whole city. Now, this is the bit I wanted to get to. When the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John, right? The apostles at Jerusalem sent Peter and John. Okay? The apostles went to that city where salvation had taken place. They were born again believers. They were baptized. Praise God. Which we see in verse 12. They were baptized. They believed. They responded. Praise God. So Philip had done a good job in terms of evangelizing. Who, when they had come down, prayed for them. So the apostles Peter and John prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. There we are, friends. Saved, but not yet Spirit filled. Yeah. It's the baptism in the Holy Spirit is an experience subsequent to salvation.
That's it.
You don't automatically get the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Yeah. There we have it, scripture. For as yet, and if you want emphasis, keep reading, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What does your Bible say? In the name of the Lord Jesus. They've been baptized correctly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and now as a sealing, isn't it, an earnest, a down payment, the apostles were sent to minister the baptism in the Holy Spirit to them. So they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Praise God, that's that apostolic ministry. Now here we go. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Now, isn't that amazing? He was saved. He believed. He was baptized.
Yes.
But he wasn't completely delivered. He said, give me this power also. He wanted power. There's a man who wanted spiritual power. So much of this is going on in the house of God. They want spiritual power. And the wealth that goes with it. That anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter said to him, your money perish with you. Because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have, I mean, there is a price to pay, but it's not money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Do you see the contrast of what we just read? The hearts of the men that God is raising up, and the heart of this man. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. And here's that word of knowledge. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness, bound by iniquity. Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me. So where's the relationship there? Getting someone else to pray. That none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me. So when they testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So they continued their work. But you see the difference. So, we're going to continue with Acts 8, because now there's something, another contrast I want to bring through. This is Philip, who just preached to the entire city of the Samaritans. See how the Spirit works in different ways. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. So the apostles have just come, completed his work. Do you see what we're saying about the apostolic ministry? It completes the ministry, it completes the work that others are doing. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south, along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So this is a specific direction to Philip, the evangelist. So we know he arose, he went, and he meets a chamberlain, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. So we know that account. But this is the bit I want to get to. In verse 29, the Spirit said to Philip, go near, overtake this chariot. So there's a specific time and a purpose, there's a reason he had to do this at that time. So he ran to him. He ran to him, and the timing is absolutely spot on. He heard him at that point reading the prophet Isaiah 53. He said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? Now, here's the cry. There's so many. How can I unless someone guides me? Here is somebody wanting to know. He's reading. But what does it mean? What does it mean? Now, you've got to put this not just, yes, it's in its historical context, but live it today. Don't we know of so many around today who are crying out? And he asked Philip to come and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read is this, Isaiah 53. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, he opened not his mouth. So let's skip down a bit. Verse 34 says, the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? And this is the bit that I want to emphasize. Then Philip opened his mouth, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. This is a door being opened into Ethiopia through Philip's knowledge of the word. He opened his mouth, beginning at that scripture, preached Jesus to him. You compare this. See, we're going to make comparisons, aren't we? Simon's heart, the apostle's heart, what we've just read there. If you turn to Luke 11, because this is part of understanding apostolic authority. Luke 11 and verse 52. Jesus rebuking the Pharisees and the lawyers. He's saying, woe to you lawyers. So those that know, the doctors of the law, in other words, those that know the text at least. Luke 11:52. Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, speaking of the kingdom, and those who are entering in, you hindered. Now look at the difference. These lawyers hindering people's entrance into the kingdom of God. They've taken away the key of knowledge by their doctrines of, you know, doctrines of men, making void the commandments of God. So they're preventing salvation. They're preventing entry into the kingdom. But look at what Philip did. Look at the contrast. He through his understanding, he opened the understanding of the Ethiopian and opened the door of the kingdom to him. Now, the body of Christ, Christendom today, has those ministries. Those that are shutting the doors, locking the doors through their legalism, their false religious doctrine. This is in the house of God, friends. And you've got ministries, those blessed ministries like Philip, that are opening up the scriptures, opening up, revealing Jesus to them through the word. Praise God. Acts chapter 13. How did this man that was so gentle, like a nursing mother, cherishing his children, how did this man minister his apostolic authority? Acts chapter 13. So Paul has now got saved, praise God, in a mighty way. And starting in verse 4, Acts 13 and verse 4. So being sent out, it keeps coming up, doesn't it, being sent. We need to, what is God saying? We need to hold on to this. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found, here we go again, found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, son of Jesus. Do you see the counterfeit going on there? Who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. Do you see again, there's more hunger, like the Ethiopian man. There's a hunger, there's a desire to know, but who's teaching them?
Yeah.
So they're sitting at the moment under wrong ministry. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Do you see what he's trying to do? He's seeking to turn this man who is seeking, the sorcerer is trying to turn him away from the faith. Then Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. So he wasn't working something up. This is an anointing. The Holy Spirit now manifesting. And said, looking at Simon, Elymas, said, O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil. Listen to this. You enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you. You shall be blind, not seeing the sun, for a time. Immediately a dark mist fell on him. He went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. So there it is. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. The same word that pronounced judgment on one caused another to believe. Now the heart of the man, he didn't go around doing that. But that anointing, that authority on such a man to produce that. Because why? He was an enemy of the gospel. This man was trying to stop somebody getting saved.
Yes.
Now, if you look in verse 11, you're seeing that this man's under a physical judgment. I hope, and the text doesn't allow, you know, say either way, But I'm hoping, you know, this would have caused him to seek God in repentance. Because the same thing happened to Paul when Jesus met him. He was blind for 3 days. So, do you understand? You see what's happening here? The use of that authority. Now, if we then, again, because the only way we're going to look at this is through a lot of scripture. So, in 1 Corinthians 4, we're looking at apostolic authority, the attitude, the motive that God is working in the vessels that he's raising up, and the gifts, the power, the authority that comes through those ministries. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll start with verse 14. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children I warn you. For though, he's sorting out problems in the Corinthian church, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, that verse is often overlooked. We'll come back to that in a minute. It is significant, that verse. Now, some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. So again, big talkers, aren't you? You're challenging my authority, you're challenging my apostleship. Big words. But I'm coming in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm coming with authority and that anointing. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. And this is what I believe in this season God is wanting to get into our hearts. Less words, more experience. Let's have the power of the kingdom. Let's begin to experience that in our life. But we are to an extent, praise the Lord. That's how we're overcoming. It's the only way we're overcoming. So we are experiencing it. But there's more that God wants from us. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod? Do you want me to come and prove it? Or shall I come in love and a spirit of gentleness? So you see the contrast of how he's operated against his enemies, the Lord's enemies, and those that are genuinely seeking. Now in verse 17, he says, I'm sending Timothy to you, and what's he going to do? He's going to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Do you see the significance of that? We're longing for unity. We're longing for one message throughout the body of Christ, and Paul is seeing to it that Timothy has an interesting ministry. Some say he's an evangelist, some say he's a pastor. He was a pastor at Ephesus. I believe, and this has been missed out, sadly, I believe he was a teacher who was anointed as an evangelist, and he occasionally functioned as a pastor. He had an extensive traveling aspect to his ministry. He went everywhere, and we see in verse 17 he taught it like Paul taught it. He passed on Paul's message. He was tutored under Paul, and he passed on that message, not copying, but Paul sent him because he knew him, he trusted him, he proved himself worthy. We read that earlier in Philippians 2. This is a man I trust whose heart is right, he's only going to care for you. And he sent him, he reminded everywhere he went, he reminded the saints of Paul's ways, of Paul's message. That's why there was such unity in the body of Christ. It was one message, one word, one message, one gospel, the whole counsel of God. Not like we have today. We've got so many Simons and Elimases and Balaams and others in the church today, destroying the body of Christ. Where are the Pauls and the Timothys, the Peters? Few and far between. The Philips, who are opening up, these true men of God, opening up the people's hearts and eyes to Jesus, to the kingdom. Praise God. The Lord's doing that, isn't he? 2 Corinthians 10. You see, Paul knew his authority. He knew what it was for. He knew as that anointing. God could trust him with it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now we'll start with verse 7. But we're going to look later on at other things in this when we get into warfare, but verse 7 to start with. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 7. Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ's. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us, and this is what I want to say, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction, I shall not be ashamed. It's given for building up, it's given for edification, not for destruction. But look how the Lord anointed him to deal with the enemies of the gospel. And God is restoring the apostolic ministry, not because, you know, they're not going to add to scripture. There's no new revelation in terms of writing, you know, adding to scripture. But when an apostle, I suppose in this day and age, you'd write an email, wouldn't he? Send an email to the pastor of a church that he'd founded. It's not adding to scripture, but that's to exhort, it's to encourage. It'll be teaching, it'll be revelation, it'll be encouragement. It'll be divinely inspired, won't it? Under the anointing. The Spirit would have inspired that, but it's not adding to scripture, so that's the difference. But the apostle will be getting revelation on behalf of the body of Christ. But it's for edification, it's not for destruction. But I believe, just as God answered, you know, when Jesus prayed that they all may be one, he answered that with the baptism in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. I believe God is answering our prayers for unity, for the gifts, for the completeness in God's will. I believe God, as he raises up the apostles, is going to put some things straight in the body of Christ. There are some who are in the pulpit who shouldn't be there. God's going to remove them. There are some who are oppressing the people, like Simon and Elymas and the wrong ones, the Pharisees, holding the people in bondage, shepherdship, JDS, others, tongues are not for today, all of those. God's going to sort that out amongst his remnant before the, because without these ministries, the body of Christ will not be perfected. Now, I acknowledge there's the overcomers, the first fruits, and then there's the others. But within the sphere, the realm which God has given us authority, God will send out these men, the apostles, prophets, and some pastors and teachers are going to be removed because they shouldn't be there. Now, if an apostle was, say, for example, was to come here to this assembly, he would be very sensitive to the pastor's authority. He would not overrule, he would not crush, or do you know what I mean? So praise God for the, what I'm saying is praise God for those that are preaching it right. So there may be something we're not seeing that he would add to. Do you know what I mean? So he's not, we're not talking about anybody preaching heresy or anything like that. So when it's being done correctly, the apostle doesn't assume that because he's an apostle, right, you're just a pastor, let me take over. He's very sensitive. The pastor has authority over the local assembly. It's, if you like, in the loosest possible sense, it's his assembly. He has authority, he has jurisdiction over this assembly. Now, by permission, an apostle can come and minister here. But the pastor would check him out first. If he got an email saying, I'm an apostle so-and-so, and God has sent me to your assembly, I'm going to come and do whatever, I trust that, well, I know he would. I know the pastor would check it out. He'd pray about it. He'd ask some questions. Who are you? Where are you from? What do you believe? What is it you want to say? And if the Lord is then giving a green light, then by permission, by the pastor's permission, that apostle will come and add things that we're not seeing that could only happen as an apostolic ministry. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a way in which it's done. But these things are only going to be a reality to us when those ministries start function. At the moment it's somewhat theoretical. The Spirit's giving it, but it's still theoretical because we haven't experienced it yet. So in closing, dear friends, this awesome authority, this spiritual power is used for building up the body of Christ. And so it is with all of us who are pressing in for gifts, who are making ourselves available to be used in the place that God has called us. Our only motive should be that we seek to excel to the edifying of the church. Not blowing our own trumpet, not power, not spiritual power. Everybody loves their power, don't they? A lot of people miss it because this is given to us to serve, not to exercise power. And so many still all about the power. And it is power. But the heart has got to be totally selfless. The motive has to be selfless. Has to be right before Almighty God. To serve. To edify. To build up. To minister in love. There are many ministries that are going to come from this. Timothy, Philip, these are great ministries. Those types of ministry. Philip went everywhere. Where he was sent, everywhere he went was a blessing to Paul. He was like Paul's right hand man, him and Luke. They were the only ones that stayed with him. Paul could rely on them. Everyone forsook him and left. The persecution was getting too much. The cost of walking with Paul was just getting too much. Most forsook and fled, but Timothy stayed with it, like Elisha and Elijah, like Joshua and Moses. God is raising up these men and ministries again in this end time. Teaching, evangelizing, doing the work of an evangelist, occasionally functioning as a pastor, but it's getting that word out, the message of the kingdom, to those who are longing for it, and to those who have been oppressed by the Simons, the Elymas, the Pharisees of this present time. And God is restoring that wonderful ministry, that apostolic authority, friends. The heart of a nursing mother, the power of that roaring lion, the power of God working through to blind a person. Judicial blinding, God's judgment on a person opposing the gospel. So God is preparing us, I believe, as we press in prayer, maybe specifically for these ministries, but that we may be completed in our faith, that we may be completed in the will of God, that prayer is also preparing us to receive that ministry, that anointed, that apostolic person, the ministry, who will impart revelation, who will complete the body of Christ, the overcoming body of Christ. Scripture says that without them functioning, we will not come to completion. It's stated positively that through these ministries, we will come to completion. Therefore, it stands to reason that without them, we won't. Now, my question is to challenge, forgive me please, let's still be friends, does that matter to you? Does that bother you? Or that, you know, is that an important thing? Well, if we love the Lord, if we remember it's His church, He gave His life for it, it's God's church, not a man's, because Jesus loves us, I believe He's put within us His heart, it matters to us. We want to experience it, and I believe as we seek the Lord, as we wait on God for this, because it's God's sovereignty, it will happen when the Father says it will happen. But there's a preparation in our prayer, in our waiting on God, in our seeking Him. I believe the Spirit is preparing our hearts to receive that ministry. Amen. Whether there's a man going to be raised up from this assembly, or whether he's already exists and he's moving about in the body of Christ, But watch this space, friends. I believe these are the breakthroughs where the apostle is. These are the breakthroughs that we're longing for. That deeper word, that message. We're going to see souls saved, souls added to the assembly, brought into the kingdom. Churches planted, as the expression goes. You know, those churches planted under that apostolic ministry, authority and anointing. The gifts following. And when we see that, then we're going to see from that other ministries, your gifts will then begin to come forth in power and that anointing. But it's going to cost. Remember, the sacrificial heart, then we'll get that kingdom power through those ministries. Well, that's a lot to think about, isn't it? A lot to digest, a lot to pray about. And there is more to come. I can't possibly say it all in one evening. So, brethren, thank you for listening. You know, take this before the Lord. These are words, aren't they, at the moment? Because we've not experienced it. But I believe it's God's word. The Spirit has planted a seed again tonight. And as we birth these things through in prayer, we will see these beautiful, these wonderful, redemptive things coming about, these balanced ministries. Not all these great words and these great swelling prophecies that never come to pass and these shiny suits and all the rest of it. Holding the people in bondage so that they can be elevated. It's the exact opposite of what Paul did, who abased himself. Made himself an available sacrifice to minister to the people. But today it's the other way around. Dear friends, something's wrong, isn't it? But God's putting it right. And I believe the apostle is one of the major answers to how God is going to answer the cry of our hearts. Lord, put it right. Bring us to completion. I believe that's one of the major ways in which God is going to bring that about, dear friends. Well, God bless you, brethren. And press in, birth it through, and we will soon have that apostle, those apostles ministering in our midst. And as a result, your gifts and ministries are going to come forth in a way that they haven't yet. God is preparing to bring us through into the greater works, that latter rain anointing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the living God.
Glory be to God.
Is there a chorus that we can...
After the chorus, Debbie would like to take the mic and give a testimony.
Okay. Oh, he's up.
Yeah.